This is the last manlis for Surah Bani Israel, and the verse I recited is 103. So he decided to scare them from that land, but we warned him and those with him altogether. Allah is talking about Pharaoh, that how he scared Bani Israel and how he tortured Bani Israel, but Allah returned him what he was doing, in the sense Allah drowned him and his companions. Then Allah said to Bani Israel, what he said in next verse, وَقُلْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِلَ اسْكُنُوا الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئْنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا. And after that we said to children of Israel, settle in the land, and when the promise when the promise of next life shall come to pass, we will bring you together. There is a translation. So, after Allah drowned Pharaoh and his companion, Allah said to Bani Israel, that stay in this land. And when the Wa'd al-Akhirah, this promise of, next promise come, we will bring you assembled together. So what was the place, what was the land where they stayed? There's a discussion about it. The promised land was, the land they lived was in Egypt, according to Mizan. That after Pharaoh and his companions were drowned, Allah gave the promised land in Egypt, which also includes Baitul Muqaddas, and they lived there. Then Allah talks about that when the promise of next life we shall come to pass, we will bring you to all together. Wa'd al-Akhirah. Now there is a discussion on Wa'd al-Akhirah, the next promise. Other promise. It is said that the other promise is the judgment day. When the judgment day comes, Allah will raise everybody all together. Lafifa means all together. But Mizan had a different opinion about Wa'd al-Akhirah. Mizan says that Wa'd al-Akhirah could be very strongly. If we remember the beginning of Surah Bani Israel, we had two Wa'd, Wa'd al-Ula, Wa'd al-Akhirah. And the verse 107, Allah talked about Wa'd al-Akhirah, right? Second promise. What was the second promise? When Bani Israel were tortured by the oppressors who oppressed them and killed them and tortured them and put them in prison in Babylon. And they were all imprisoned. So Mizan said this Wa'd al-Akhirah could be that situation when the second promise came to them, and they were all dragged down from the promised land to Babylon, and they were in prison and they were killed. And they were all together as a lafifa, means together. So there are both possibilities. وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشَّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And with the truth we have sent it down, and with the truth it has come down. And we have not sent you except as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that I have revealed this Quran with the truth. Allah's name is truth. Ya haqqo, ya haqqo. So Allah says, I have revealed it with the truth, and we have sent down the truth, and it has come down. So it's nothing but truth. And Allah said to Prophet, you are nothing but a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. So the whole Quran came from Allah with the truth. Prophet's role was there nothing but to read Quran and then explain Quran and then practice Quran. But the word came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody had any environment but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being, no angel. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran that if you had put something from your side, I could have cut your jugular vein. It's in Quran. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ. Prophet doesn't say anything from his desire. That's how it is, that it's only truth. وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مقسم ونزلناه تنزيلا and Quran which we have divided so that you may read it to the people at a slow pace and we have sent it down gradually in portions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have divided Quran so that you may read it to the people at a slow pace and we have sent it down gradually in portions. So what is the portion means? Quran in portion. Portion means Quran has been revealed verse after verse and surah after surah. That's how Allah has put the portions of Quran. So that it has all limitations. So, and Allah has sent down in gradually in portions. Quran was revealed in 23 years in the portions. It's not like Torah. Torah was revealed all of a sudden. But Quran was revealed in 23 years. And Bani Israel left Torah when it was revealed to them. Unless the mountain was raised on their head and Jibril threatened to hit the mountain on them. And they did astaghfar and they went towards Torah. So Allah revealed Quran very gradually so that it comes slowly and people can absorb it so slowly, gradually learn from it, memorize it, practice it, preach it. It is a miracle of Quran that in 23 years it came in different occasions and all these occasions were different occasions and Quran was revealed in different times so that it comes appropriate with the situation so that people can remember what was the reason of the revelation so they can connect to it. And they can practice in their life what they were learning from Quran so that they become more mature and get more attached to Quran Hakim. قُلْ آمِنُوا بِهِ أَوْ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ سُجَّدًا. Say, believe in it or not believe, verily those who were given the knowledge before it, when it is read to them, they fall down prostrate on their face adoring. Allah says, that you believe it or not believe, the one who were given the ilm before, the knowledge before, when the verses of Quran is being read to them, they prostrate on their face adoring. They fall down their face adoring. That's how much they loved Quran Hakim. Who are these people who are given the ilm before, the knowledge before? These are the people of the book, the scholars of the previous books. They read previous books and they were waiting for our prophet to come because in all these scriptures, our prophet description was very much in detail, graphic detail. So they were waiting for our prophet to come in this world. So when prophet came and the prophet read Quran, when they heard the Quran, they started crying and they fell down on the face down. With the humility, they had so much humility in their heart, you know, they just fell down. Lil atqani sujjata. So this word lil atqani means diqan, diqan. Diqan comes from chin. Face down means chin down. Because the real word is diqan used in Quran. لِلْأَفْقَانِ. So, because Allah used the word chin there, you know, for prostrating. Chin is the first part which goes when you go to prostrating. Another thing is that when you talk about chin, you include the whole face because chin is the last part of the face. So the whole face down, they fell down. That's how they were humble. So question comes that those scholars, when they heard that they started falling down on face and they were so humble, are we this way when Quran is being recited to us? How we behave when the Quran is being recited? Are we there yet? Although we've been, at that time, Islam was not successful even. This was the beginning of Quran, Islam. We now the Quran is haq. A billion people follow it. And we know that is the truth. But do we do that? We don't. No. Why? Because our heart are rusty. Because we have so much sinning in our heart that our heart cannot catch the beauty of Allah's word. And the purity of Allah's word. فَيَقُولُونَ نَا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِنْ كَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّنَا لَمَفْعُولًا And they say, glory be to our Lord, verily our Lord's promise is to be fulfilled. And what they say? Then when they listen to those words, they say, glory be to our Lord, verily our Lord's promise is to be fulfilled. Subhana, Subhana Rabbina. They see the purity of Allah's word. They say, Subhana Rabbina. They when they hear it, they prostrate down, they see the beauty and purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we do that? Do we do that? That we get so much humble and see the beauty of Allah's purity in Quran. If we were seeing Allah's purity in Quran, then why don't we read Quran? Why don't we get attached to it? Do we see that in our heart? In kana wa'du rabbina la maf'ula. Verily our Lord's promise is to be fulfilled. What is the promise? Promise is the resurrection day. That those scholars, when they were listening to Quran, and when they listen to it, they remember their judgment day, that they will be resurrected. The way we have connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Quran, this life, will be our connection with Allah on the judgment day. It won't be different. Brothers and sisters, this is a time to connect to Allah's word and see His purity, so that we become humble and we connect to Him and we remember our judgment day. وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. And they fall down weeping, and it adds up to their humility. So they fall down and they start weeping, and it increases their more humility. Humility is two kinds, exterior and interior. Exterior humility is shown by falling down the face. Interior humility is shown by crying. Those are the humility. Khushu'ah. Khushu is humility. We have to be khushu when we do salat. How we fall down our sajda, how we cry when we will listen to Allah's word, how we cry when we do dua. These are all humbleness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have those khushu. Somebody asks our sixth Imam that if somebody has some illness in his forehead, where should he do sajda? Imam says, do sajda on the chin, because chin is included in the sajda. After describing these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about His holy essence, His names. When we read the whole chapter, we see that Allah talked in beginning about Miraj, and Allah talked about akhlaqiyat, what kind of behavior we should have, exterior behavior. He talked about exterior behavior, right? Akhlaqiyat. Because you remember that this is the only surah which is described that if you apply this surah and read every Thursday night, you are become company of Imam Azam alayhi salam, right? So Allah talked in the beginning about those things, how, what kind of behavior we should have. Then Allah talked about 71 verse was about Imam, with Imam, Bibi with Imam. Then Allah talked about Maqam Mahmood and Tahajjud prayer, right? All those spirituality Allah talked about. Now, and finally Allah talked about how people of the heart respond to His verses. Now, in the last, Allah is talking about Himself, His holy essence, His names. So, it is going towards Allah's Zaat. Now, these verses are about Allah's Zaat, so that we long for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get connected to Him. We love Him. Our whole goal of life is to get the ruhaniyat and enlightenment from Allah, and to connect to His names, to His holy essence, to go to His holy essence and connect Him in His holy essence. So Allah is talking about and calling us towards Him by these verses. Allahu wa'idul rahman ayyama tad'u falahul asma'ul husna. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Say, call upon Allah, or call upon the beneficent, whichever you call upon, then the best names belong to Him, and do not utter your prayer too loud, nor be silent with regard to it, and seek a way between that. Allah is talking about, you call Him by Allah name, or you call by Rahman, whichever you call upon. Then the best name belongs to Him. And do not utter your prayer too loud, or not to be silent with regard to it. And seek a way between that. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَعُ الْحُسْنَى. Husna came from the best names. Best. Allah says, you call me Allah, you call me Rahman, for him, the way you want to call him. For him are the best names. Neither pray salat loudly or too slowly, but get a way in between. So first he talked about his names, then he talked about his salat. These are the height of the ruhaniyat, calling his names and doing his salat. So for him are the best names. All goodness belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All his names are beautiful names. All names are the best names. All his names are his pure realities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure realities. These polytheists were listening to Prophet praying, Ya Allah, Ya Rahmano. As soon as they say, Ya Allah, Rahman. When Prophet said, Ya Allah, Ya Rahmano, they said, he teaches us to be follow one God, but he's following two gods right now. So the words came. Allah said, you call him the Rahman. Allah or Rahman, the way you want to call, then the best name belongs to him. So name are Allah's names, and Musamma means the meaning. Is means name, Musamma means the meaning, intended meaning. Intended meaning is becomes. So intended meaning of Allah's name is his holy essence. His holy essence is not separate from his names. His names belong to purely for him. There is no separation between his names and his holy essence. They all belong to him. They are not independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names. And his attributes are not independent of him either. They totally belong to him. There is no separation between his attributes and himself. When we call from his names, in reality we are calling him, not we are not focusing on names. His name, when we call, we intend him, nothing else. Our sixth Imam says, if one worships only the name, not the meaning, then he has disbelieved and not worshipped anyone. And one who worships both name and meaning, then he has disbelieved and also worshipped two gods. One worships only the meaning, but not the name, that is monotheism. Subhanallah. So the real worship is monotheism, is really intended meaning of Allah's Zat, the holy essence. What polytheists did? Polytheists separated him with his names. And then polytheists gave his names to his angels and jinns. And they worship that angel and jinn with that name, and they left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally they just worship the idols of the angels and jinns. In India they have made Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, right? Brahma is the creator, one is maintainer, one is destroyer, right? Those three things they have given to three gods. And that's how they worship each of them. That's an example of India. Taking his names out, giving to somebody else, worshipping them. That's polytheism. That's happened in India. And then even those three becomes in different forms too. They get subdivided. The destroyer god is different forms they comes. The creator gods in different forms. It's total mess. So Allah says no. When you call name, means you're calling him. Imam Ali said about believers that when they call his name, they intend to call him, not the name. Prophet used to do salat in Makkah, and the believers, the police used to come and torture him because then he was praying loud. And they should be around him and torture him. So the verse came, they don't read salat too loudly or too slowly, but between that. Now there are some commentary about in Mizan that neither you do salat too loud or too slow that you cannot hear. You should be in between. Allah is saying to Prophet. And there's one more intended meaning which Mizan says that don't read all the salat loudly and don't read all the salat slowly. Like you have loud salat a little bit louder in Subh and Maghrib in Isha and slow one in Zohar and Asr. So that's also a meaning. Now there is also more a description about calling Allah loudly and calling Allah slowly is what? that some of Allah's names are very exalted names. Aliyul Ghazim. So you want to call those loudly. And some of Allah's attributes are very close to your jugular vein. So you call him quietly, as if he is close to a jugular vein. So you call Allah in both ways. You enjoy, you get connected spiritually in both forms, in a different fashion. Sometimes we feel that Allah is and is towards throne, and our heart goes towards throne. But at the same time, we feel that Allah is close to our jugular vein. So we call him very close, you know. This is the beauty of Allah. Allah is everywhere. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. And say, praise to Allah who has not taken unto him a son, nor he has got any partner in the sovereignty, and there is not for him any helper out of humbleness. And magnify him with all magnificence. This is the last verse of this surah. Allah is saying, tell them all praise belong to Allah who has not taken any son, nor he has got any partner in the sovereignty, and there is not for him any helper out of humbleness, and magnify him with all magnificence. Because this verse came against polytheists, Jews, Christians, and star worshipper. Because Christians say that Allah has taken Isa as a son, Jews say that Allah has taken Uzair as a son. So Allah says, say that all praise to Allah who has not taken any son. And the polytheists say that Allah has partners. So Allah says in the next part, and he got no partner in sovereignty. And then the star worshipper used to say that Allah needs a guardian to guide him, you know, when he is in problem. So Allah says, and there is not for him any helper out of humbleness. Allah confronted all three groups by saying this verse, وَكَبِّرُوا تَكْبِيرًا, and magnify him with all magnificence, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives enlightenment through Surah Bani Israel, and we follow the surah in our heart, we enlighten our heart with this surah, especially when we read these verses about Miraj, and we read the verses about verse of Imam and Tahajjud verse and the last verses about his names, our heart get attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel like giving everything what we got for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the degree that we show our love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We develop love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah comes to our heart with his names. When we read about his names should not come to our tongue, but his name should come to our heart and our characteristics. We should become Rahman, Rahim, Ghafoor, something like that nature. We like Allah, but we can try to follow those commands so that we can fit in with Allah's friends. See, when we read Quran, we get the Nuraniyat. What kind of Nurat Imam Hussein has? And what kind of love Allah had to Imam Hussein? Let me ask you one thing. That in Quran, Allah says that if you follow my Prophet, I love you, right? This is Quran. So Allah loves somebody who follows Prophet. So how much Allah loved Prophet's son Imam Hussain alayhi salam? How much Allah loved Imam Hussain alayhi salam? And in return, how much Imam Hussain loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And why Imam Hussain loved Allah so much? The reason Imam Hussain loved Allah so much, because he knew Allah. He knew Allah through his words. Quran was in his heart. He was speaking Quran because Quran was in his heart. See how much Quran and how much love he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much, because of this love, he wanted to give everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his love. He didn't want anything in return from Allah except the love. That's why he took the 6-month-old with him. That's why he took the women with him, just to sacrifice what he had best with him. The best thing what he got, he sacrificed. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam had Ismail to sacrifice. Imam Hussain showed his love by giving sacrifice to Ali Akbar alayhi salam, Abbas alayhi salam. That was the love of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We have to follow his father, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to love Allah through Quran and Hakim, and love him and sacrifice. And then what kind of connection we had when Allah says, call me with my names. Falahul Asma'ul Husna. What kind of connection my Hussein had when he was in Karbala and he was going through hardship? What kind of name he called when he saw his son getting a spear in his heart? And what kind of name my Hussein called when he saw his 6-month-old getting slaughtered? And what kind of name he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he fell down from the horse? And how he completed his salat when he was in the prostration? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.